I have previously talked about unfinished business and its effect of draining our energy. And it drains our energy and it doesn't give us the ability to replenish. So it is a net loss of energy. If we undertake projects without getting to closure, and that's what today's talk is about, closure. It's kind of like a farmer who never ever gets to the harvest part of the growing season, never can really finish the cycle. Closure is like seeing and feeling the effects of our efforts that are directed at causing desirable results. Closure is when we can deliberately look for meaning, value, lessons, and other things that we consider important to us, so that we can gain awareness that we can use in future activities. If we're engaging in an activity and not learning from it, that means we have to learn the next time. And if we don't learn anything, we have to learn the next time. And there would be no net gain of intelligence, of knowledge, of awareness. And that is not really workable in terms of our survival. You can really see closure as the more of a process of mining for gold in our experiences than getting to the termination of an activity with an attitude that says, there, I'm done. You know, you can hear that in children sometimes, and you can hear that in adults, but it doesn't really serve us. As we become better at completing cycles, which are simply activities that have a beginning, a middle, and an end, we're going to find ourselves re-energized by what we do. And if you think of so many things that we put our attention on, there's a beginning, a middle, of an end. Just understanding that gives us the opportunity to go, oh, I know where I am. I'm either at the beginning or I'm in the middle or I need to move on to the end. And sometimes when I've ended, it's over. And so if we understand where we are, it gets a lot easier to navigate in life. All of us can make decisions about the end of a cycle, but difference of opinions can lead to conflicts between people. You know, as an example, a person who says, you know what, the end of dinner occurs when I put the dishes in the kitchen sink and walk away. The woman in the house is not likely to feel that same way. It's like, no, that's not closure. That's not closure. That's just mid-process. Maybe the way to get closure after a dinner, as an example, is to notice that if the conditions are ready for another cycle to start, if dinner is a cycle, and it is, and it has a lot of other cycles within and around it, dirty dishes in the sink are not the starting point of another meal. They're still the part of the last meal. It's an unfinished cycle. There is no closure in that case. And a person who doesn't reach for that closure is missing a sense of accomplishment, of bringing order to matter, energy, or space, or time. If we were to just put dirty dishes in the sink and walk away, somebody else has got to take responsibility then for bringing that cycle to closure, not the person who put the dishes in the sink. Now, if it were a small child doing that, that may be an appropriate end of cycle for a child. But for an adult, probably not. As I mentioned, there are cycles within cycles with most activities, and washing dishes by hand is an example. So here's a story I'll tell on myself. On Thanksgiving Day after dinner, I was washing the dishes. I don't cook, so I'm a dishwasher. Some went into the dishwashers, and some needed hand washing. I was washing a beautiful serving dish, being really careful because my hands were soapy, and I wanted to make sure it didn't slip. It was kind of, had the potential to slip because of that soapy water. As I was rinsing the dish after I washed it, it was now clean, and I was getting ready to place it on the drying mat off to my left, where my dish-drying daughter Lisa was waiting. As soon as I put it down and it drained a teeny bit, she was going to pick it up and dry it. But as I was reaching over to put the dish on the mat, I hit the edge of the granite countertop and chipped that beautiful dish. My first thought, and I verbalized this to Lisa, was, a more physically intelligent person would have been able to do that without chipping that dish. Lisa, who was standing next to me waiting for that dish, saw the whole thing unfold, said, "Mm-mm, no, Dad, that's not what happened. I saw it all. You took your attention off of that dish, and you had moved your attention onto the next thing that you wanted to wash. You thought you were done with the dish, but you hadn't put it down yet. You thought you were done before you were done." I thought about it. Lisa was right. I thought I had arrived at closure because I had washed and rinsed the dish without mishap. I didn't realize that closure for the part of the cycle I was responsible for really involved me to continue and set it down safely on the mat. There, I was done with the dish. I completed my cycle. I arrived at closure with respect to that particular dish. And at that point, Lisa could start her cycle, which would be pick up the dish, dry it, and then set it down someplace else. Maybe that sequence is a partial explanation of what happens to people when they experience accidents. We set out on an errand. An errand is a cycle. But we haven't fully intended mindfully to complete all phases of that activity. We find ourselves withdrawing our attention prematurely. Without our attention directing the energy flows, including our body, including our cars, including the shopping cart, or whatever else we happen to be engaged in, we put ourselves at risk. It's like taking our hands off the wheel, steering wheel of a car while we're driving because we think, erroneously, that we're done. It seems true to me that some people have a knack for starting things. We would describe those people as creative, perhaps. Other people are excellent at continuing things, and I know these people have been labeled as managers, while other people are good at stopping things. If you're going to hire a policeman, guess what? You're going to want to hire somebody who's good at stopping things. Having an idea is a start. Maybe the finished physical manifestation is the stopping point, the closure. This is a kind of a tricky and ambiguous area that we get a chance to determine for ourselves. Here's an example. I journal almost every day. Is the fact that I write words on pieces of paper a sufficient physical manifestation so that I can reach the satisfaction of closure? Maybe. Sometimes, and probably several times a week, I tell Marianne how much I love journaling. However, early on in my journaling, for the first, say, 2 to 3 years, I journaled for the benefits that I was accruing personally. I could get closure, I could get value, I could get good feelings from putting the words that came to me onto pieces of paper. After those several years, though, I began to notice that, you know what, there may be potential for value here for other people if they were to know what I was acquiring, what energies, what thoughts I was getting. If I could develop in my journaling the ideas or viewpoints or ways of expressing them, maybe my clients could benefit from the journaling, too. And that's what's happened. My journaling has impacted my coaching, my Thursday night calls, and my relationships with people. And these experiences where this value that I've acquired that now gets transmitted to somebody else feels like closure to me. But then I've had conversations recently with people who, and particularly people with marketing skills, they go, you know what? You need to take the information that you've acquired in your journaling and you've written down on pieces of paper. You need to package that into ebooks, CDs, DVDs, workbooks, books, lectures, workshops, and you need to successfully monetize what you're dealing with. That's closure. I went, Well, I'm not really doing that. Obviously, I'm doing it in terms of the Sunday talks, but beyond that, there is no physical manifestation of it, and certainly no successful monetization of it. But because closure can mean so many different things to so many different people, I think closure is the point at which we have caused desirable effects in a cycle, and we can recognize and accept the good feelings that accompany causing those effects. At this time of the year, the topics of, say, procrastination, discipline, willpower are really, really popular because, you know, food and drink are readily available during the holiday season, and January 1st and New Year's resolutions are commonly talked about. It's like, oh, I got to change the way I live. I got to change the way I eat. I got to change the way I exercise or don't exercise. Oh, I got to change my life in a lot of different ways. All of that stuff goes on. All of those ideas of procrastination, discipline, and willpower, and New Year's resolutions are related to us getting ourselves to do what needs to be done. Procrastination could show up as a delay in starting. I've been thinking about it, been thinking about it, been thinking about it, been thinking about it. Or a delay in continuing. We've taken a few steps, but then we put it on the back burner. Or it could be a delay in stopping. Just not going to get the closure. I'm not going to finalize this stuff. I'm not going to sign off that I'm done. For the purposes of this talk, though, procrastination can be about not coming to closure. There's a variation as to how people see closure. We can see it as rewarding, or we can see it as threatening, and it pays to know which is happening for us. Let's imagine we've got a novel that's not yet published. Guess what? It doesn't have the risk of being criticized by readers or reviewers. It also, because it's unpublished, has very little chance of being praised. Can't get a reward, and we can't experience the threat, so we don't come to closure because we're afraid of what might happen if we do. Whatever energies we place around us and around the object of our attention, say that novel that's yet to be published, that work of art that's yet to be unveiled, the energies we place around us and it are going to determine our relationship. If when we put our attention on that, we see ourselves as not enough, and I capitalize N and not N enough, not enough, because I think not enoughness is a condition that many of us suffer from. Or less than, that is, I'm not enough, or I'm less than I need to be in order to handle this situation effectively. That, you know, this demand, this bringing my object of attention to a successful, satisfactory closure. I'm afraid of getting it to that point. It's too threatening for me. Then we're going to back off. We're not going to come to closure. It'll be like walking into a lion's den. Too scary for us. If, on the other hand, and I think we have this opportunity, we hold our attention on that object, and it may go from being scary, scary, lion, saber-toothed tiger, if we will hold our attention on that object with the expectation that as we do that, we are drawing to us from divine consciousness the energies, the awareness, the support, the strength, the insight that we need in order to deal with this effectively and to have an effective relationship with that object, that novel, that work of art, that job, that project, that whatever it happens to be. We will become enough. We will become equal to it because we allowed ourselves to draw upon the divine to help us to meet that demand specifically. A lot of us have at first glimpse, and we don't access any more information. We think that's the end of the story. That's not the end of the story. It's just one tiny moment in the cycle. If we hold on, if we're confident enough and strong enough and disciplined enough to just to hold on for another second, or 2 seconds, 3 seconds, all of a sudden, this support that we're looking for will come to us. We can literally reach out in thought and feeling for it. It will come to us even sooner. Another way to look at closure is like when matter, and I'm talking about solid objects, not only dishes in the kitchen, but any kind of solid material object, when they are returned to a condition or and a place where they're ready to be used in the start of another cycle, we could say, yep, that's closure on a physical level. To me, this sounds like, oh, that's the ready position, as in we're ready to start the next cycle. The dishes are put away, they're all where they belong, the papers are cleaned off, whatever it happens to be in your particular environment. When we feel satisfied about the process, that we've completed it, we've arrived at conclusion, at closure, I would say that that's emotional closure. And to me, that sounds like, now I'm in the willing position, as in, I am willing to do this process again. That's really where we want to be. We want to be in the ready position physically, and we want to be in the willing position emotionally, so we can re-engage with matter, energy, space, and time in order to create the next thing that we want in whatever cycle that we want to engage in. The more effective a person is in moving through the energy model cycle, and that energy model is the acquisition of energy, the preservation of energy, the translation of energy, the expression of energy, the release of energy that no longer serves us, and arriving at closure. The more we can do that, and the more we are successful at understanding the stop, continue, and start, continue, and stop in our cycle, the more productive we can be. Despite what a lot of people believe, speed is not the main factor in being more productive. It's effectiveness. We want to be more effective. And we're like, how do you be more effective? What does that look like? The more enjoyment, the more insight, the greater the increase in awareness that we have, the more effective we will be. That's the goal. Not be good, not be right, but be more effective. If we consider that every process has an endpoint, the image of that most desirable endpoint would be an important aspect to achieving closure. It's like how you would build a house without having a vision of what that house would look like when it's built. I mean, how would you know you're done? How would you arrive at closure? You couldn't. So for pretty much anything, you can see, if you'll spend just a little bit of time identifying what closure would look like, what would the ideal closure be? What would it look like physically? How would I feel emotionally? What would I think mentally? Then we would be in a much better position to achieve closure. To go back to journaling as an example, to me, journaling is a process with an endpoint. On a daily basis, my goal is to journal for about 30 minutes. Marianne laughs at that and say, I hardly ever journal 30 minutes. It's always much longer. But my goal is 30 minutes. If I go longer. So I recognize I'm going to journal for a certain period of time on a given day, and the next day I'm going to do it again, and the day after that I'm going to do it again. But there's another set of endpoints, even though every day I arrive at some sort of an endpoint. And this is what happens. My daughter Diana is going to transcribe the journaling. So when I mail the copies to her, I arrive at an endpoint. I could say, gee, before the end of today, I'm going to go to Office Max, make copies of my November journaling, and mail the copies to her. So getting the copies made is an endpoint. Put them into the U.S. mail envelope is an endpoint. When the mailman picks them up, that's an endpoint. When Diana receives them, that's an endpoint. When she starts transcribing them and completes transcribing them and emails me the Word doc, that is an endpoint. And when I get them back, I can polish what I wrote. I can edit it, make corrections, make improvements. delete things. And I could put that information into an ebook and offer it on sale to on my websites. I could turn it into an audio presentation. I could do a lot of different things with it. All of this says to me that seeing the future closure that I desire, seeing the future closure that you desire in any activity, is a key to achieving it. For years, I knew I was extremely fortunate when I was 16 years old. I was hired to do a job in a drugstore in my hometown, and that was a great thing. What was even greater is that in my orientation in day one or day two, one of my bosses, Frank Mountain, explained in such a way it became extremely clear to me as to what I could do and should do in every given moment. And he made it clear to me that in order to do a good job, this is the closure that I would arrive at. Now, he didn't use the word closure, but he put it out there very clearly, so in the light of today's talk, I can see it as closure. And he said, your goal is to take money from a happy customer and put it into the cash register. So no matter what else you're doing, sweeping the floor, stocking the shelves, dusting the shelves, inventory deliveries, your job is to take money from a happy customer and put it into the cash register. And if you're sweeping the floor and your job is to take money from a happy customer and put it into the cash register. I always knew what closure was like in a customer interaction. Years later, and when I worked in a Fortune 500 company, I would explain to my people a variation of what Frank Mountain taught me. That's what their job was. And me, as their manager of their manager, was to help them do that successfully. Besides being aware of the characteristics of closure, which is going to make it easier to achieve, it's kind of like going on a trip. I'm going on a trip. Where are you going? I don't know. How you know when you're there? I don't know that either. That's a difficult way to travel. You wouldn't want to do that in any area of your life. So we do want to set goals. We do want to see this variation of closure. And we do want to reach for what we would think is the highest possible example of closure for a particular activity. But I would suggest this. We're going to want to do the same thing that I suggest we do with goal setting. Is rather than making it a very specific and narrow goal, you can have that goal or better. This goal or better. Because in my experience, divine consciousness has a tendency to provide more and better than we ask for. And so we do want to set ourselves up to allow for that possibility. We ask for X and we end up getting 3X. You go like, okay, I'm okay with that. That would be good. Yeah. So, what does closure look like? What does it feel like to have closure? How do other people feel when we have closure? How can we tell we have closure? I don't know. I made a list of some things that I thought might be those characteristics. Everything is put away as it was before the process started. That makes sense to me. A new cycle could be started right after closure. As compared to, but before I could start that, I got to finish the last cycle. No. There's a sense of completion available. A sense of effectiveness could be experienced. I think it is really, really important to us to continue to reach out for feelings of effectiveness. If we have them, we're going to be willing to do, think, feel, say a lot more things. But if we don't have feelings of effectiveness, we're going to tend to hold ourselves back. Greater awareness can come from that interaction with matter, energy, space, and time. And we would be looking for that. That's one of the rewards. That's the goal that I mentioned earlier, that we're looking to mine from our experiences. Recognizable value was added by us to a circumstance, and was gained by us from that circumstance. For a lot of us, we can recognize that closure gives us a sense of balance, maybe for the first time, or we could regain balance. Our self-interest and other people's self-interest are more or less balanced so that we arrive at a win-win result. That's what we're going to have. If we win and they lose, we're not going to be happy with that. We would have made losers and we would have made enemies out of people. That's not how we're going to want to come to closure. Attention units are retrieved and are usable for other activities. Attention units are kind of a cool concept. If you can imagine that each of us has a certain amount of attention, and you say, yep, okay. Doesn't have to be equal amounts. You don't have to have the same amount as I do, but you have your total amount of attention. And then we could divide your attention, and I could divide my attention, into, say, 100 units. And they are whatever they are. So you have 100 units of attention. I have 100 units of attention. So what are we going to do with those 100 units of attention? Well, because our creative power and our ability to influence things are primarily related to our ability to use our attention and our intention, it would be good to have access to our attention. However, when we have so many incomplete cycles, so much unfinished business, so many balls in the air, so many things that are partially completed, our attention units are on those things. I have occurring in my coaching from time to time when I help people come to closure on certain things or arrive at a decision and successfully conclude a situation in their lives, they go, oh, I feel so much lighter and I feel so much more awake, so much more energized. And I think what really has happened is they have regained their attention units, these energies that now can be used for other things. If you finish one activity, the energy that you were using in that activity can be used in another activity. But if you've got 10 or 12 or 100 activities that you're not completing, your attention is working on this one, working on this one, working on that one, working on all 10, 20, or 100 of those things. You go, boy, I don't know why I'm so tired. Yeah, I know. I know why you're so tired, is because your energy is being used out there and you're not being able to replenish. You're being drained, but you're not being able to replenish yourself. Our environments, mental, emotional, and physical, are more organized, more orderly, less chaotic. That's a nice characteristic. We're going to have feelings of empowerment due to having a sense of closure. And we've made it available energy in some form that's going to support our own or other people's access to those 9 items that are listed in the Truth of Existence from Christ Returns Reveal Startling Truth. And we know another characteristic of closure is that our output is going to be used by other people for their own betterment. And maybe we receive value, perhaps in the form of money or in other energy patterns, in exchange for the value we put out. It's always going to happen. We're going to reap what we sow. And if we give value, we're going to get value. The exact form of that is really determined by our consciousness and what's important to us. And the final thing that I had on the list of how to recognize closure is that we're eager to start the next cycle as compared to, oh, I'm so exhausted. Oh, it's too much. Just everything is like climbing Mount Everest. No. We're going to be eager to start the next cycle. I want to place closure in the context of those 9 parts of the Truth of Existence that I just mentioned. This is in letter 1 of Christ Returns Reveal Startling Truth. Using that framework that the divine consciousness works for us, in us, and through us, closure could mean that we are being provided with growth, nutrition and nourishment, healing, protection, fulfillment of need, work, survival, rhythm, all within a spiritual system of law and order. And that we could be the instrument. That's the through us part of the truth of existence, is that we're delivering this stuff through us. We're the conduits of these nine elements. If we can grow physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, and help others to do the same, we will be able to arrive at closure. If we nurture and nourish our bodies, minds, and spirits, and help other people to do the same, we will be able to arrive at closure. If we heal ourselves by raising our consciousnesses and helping others to do the same, we can arrive at closure. If we protect our self-interest and our individuality while protecting others, people's self-interest and their individuality, we will be able to arrive at closure. If we fulfill our needs and help others to do the same, we will be able to arrive at closure. If we work in harmony with the truth of existence and help others work in similar ways, we will be able to arrive at closure. If we think, feel, speak, and act in alignment with our survival and help others to do the same, we will be able to arrive at closure. If we align ourselves with the natural rhythms of energy, natural energy flows in life, and help others to do the same, we will be able to arrive at closure. And if we live our lives with a full understanding of the law of cause and effect, that we will reap what we sow with our thoughts, feelings, words, and actions, and if we help other people to gain this awareness, we will be able to arrive at closure. A year ago in one day, I had three clients in a row verbalize this to me. They told me that they felt best in their work or at home or both when they were helping other people. That's true for me. Marianne and I had two friends visiting recently, and they brought with them their three dogs. Their three dogs have been rescued from shelters. These people rescued these dogs before they could be put to death, and the most recent dog was 2 hours away from being put down. It's very clear to me what closure really is. Closure arrives when, through our thoughts, feelings, words, and actions on behalf of others, we get nearer to the nature of our own souls, which is unconditional love. If our soul is an expression of divine consciousness is unconditional love, our soul is unconditional love, as our physical activities, mental activities, emotional activities are in that direction, this is the real closure that we're seeking at the soul level. If the nature of our souls is unconditional love, our actions going in that direction is where we will find the most satisfactory closure. So with that understanding, if that's true for you as it is for me, from this point on, the cycles in which we engage are about elevating our consciousness to that level of unconditional love. If we can deliver that energy to ourselves and everything else that we turn into the object of our attention, whatever we focus on, we're going to have levels of closure that are so rewarding on every single level that we're going to be pleased with ourselves and others. I'd like to end this service with a prayer. This is a pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 from Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.